So we're continuing our series on applied theology, and the past 3 weeks we talked about God the Father, God the Son, last week we talked about God the Holy Spirit, and that's it for the Trinity, so we're not going to add another one. There's no fourth component to that. So, but this week we're going to be talking about sin. So let's get started. Let me just pray one more time, because Lord knows I need help when we're talking about this issue, and I just want God to use me today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, just keep all distractions from us, Lord, just put a hedge of protection around us. Lord, I just pray that you would use me, give me the words to say, we're looking forward to seeing how your word will speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm a very curious person. I'm extremely curious. Growing up as a young kid, my curiosity would lead me to do things that would get me in trouble. I would be looking through, closets. We'd go over to my grandparents' house, and they had all kinds of bookshelves and cabinets and drawers, and I would just be digging through and all kinds of papers and just pulling out stuff. Oh, what's this? And I was a crazy kid actually growing up. And they had a basement too with tons of like barrels, and they would store all their stuff. They lived there for so many years, they didn't need to get rid of it. Clean house for because they're moving to a new house. And so that was like a kingdom. Like, yeah, I could dig through all this stuff and what's here and what's in this. And so I was definitely a curious guy, so curious too that I would take apart electronic equipment. I love electronics, and so I'd take apart a radio. I'm like, oh, how does this work? And then I would forget it, how to put it back together. Take apart my computer, my old Commodore 64. Y'all have never heard it. You'd go to the museum and find it, but somebody gave it to us, and so I was just like, man, this is cool, and then break it. And I grew up in Germany, a little cow town. And so in our little town, it was just 800 people in our town, so pretty small, lots of farmers, predominantly farmers, and they'd be driving through tractors and whatnot, and they'd have their fields, and as I'm walking to like the bus stop, I'd walk by a couple of fields that had cows in them, and to keep the cows in place, for them wandering away, they had, just the basic cow fence. How many of y'all ever heard of a cow fence? Okay. And so this cow fence, let me describe it to you for those who, don't know what it's like. All it is pretty basic, just like a wire. That's all. Like a wire, it went around the entire field, and it was hooked up to like a car battery or something like that. And so there was power on it, just a little power, so I heard. And as kids, it was like you're walking by, and you're just like, oh man, I know there's power on it, but I don't know why. I'm just so curious to know what it feels like. Like stupid. So, and you would just kind of ease your way in. I would take a piece of grass and just kind of stick it on, and yeah, you get a little small little shock, like, huh, okay. And then, and then I just reach in for it and see how long I could hold, kind of get little jolts. And that's why I am the way I am today. So, you may think I grabbed one this morning, like, okay, so I was curious. My wife has nicknamed me Curious George, because I ask lots of questions. I want to know how it works. My brain is just analytical. I was like, I'm trying to figure out, like, oh, how did they do that? And how does that work? Little tricks. And I loved magic as a kid, or illusions, and I would do my little tricks in front of my family and stuff like that. They'd laugh at me. My curiosity would sometimes get me in trouble. And there's nothing wrong with curiosity. It's okay. It's good. It's part of just kind of the growing nature. And the only time, though, is when my curiosity would overtake me and it would get me to do things that were wrong, things that I shouldn't be doing, being so exploring areas that I shouldn't explore. And that's when it would... Yeah, that's when it would backfire, my curiosity. Many of you all may relate to that curiosity. Maybe you're just as curious as I was, or still am. And you have that nature. It's like, well, I just want to know what it's like. And maybe your parents have told you things told you not to do certain things, and you just don't buy their word. You're just like, well, maybe they didn't give you enough reason why not to do something, why to stay away from something. They didn't. Their reason wasn't sufficient, so you felt like, well, I just got to figure it out for myself. I need to see if that's true, what they said. I need to see if it, you know, is that really going to happen? And, you know, sometimes you hear these little tales of, you know, people try freaking you out. So they'll say something extreme. We know it's not true. It's just like, oh, you don't do that. Otherwise, you might, you know, your nose may grow longer or something like that. Just trying to freak you out. But yeah, sometimes we walk through life like that, and maybe you feel the same way. Is it that we didn't trust our parents when they said, hey, don't do that. Just trust me. You don't want to. It's not the road you want to go down. Is it that we think that they're holding us back from the full pleasure or enjoyment? Like, well, man, I'm not living life until I know what that's like. I mean, they just don't have any idea. You know, why is it that we do bad things? Is it because we are curious people and simply want to find out for ourselves? It's like we have to learn our own way. We just can't take someone else's word for it. And what is it that we want to find out so desperately? Like, yeah, I'm asking you another more questions. And when, since we're talking about wrong, who defines wrong? And yeah, what does that look like? And as Bob handed out the question earlier, I had you all discuss it at your tables. Why is it that we're living in a messed up world? And what caused it to get this way? So for those of you familiar with the Bible, I'm sure a bunch of answers are just kind of coming to your mind. It's like, well, I know. Yeah, and this and that. And so I'm just going to kind of walk through. I'm going to take it easy. Our topic is sin today. And there's so much to be said about it, but I'm going to try not to overwhelm you. This is not a seminary class. This is not college. I'm going to show you simply something that I learned recently that, yeah, just kind of really has helped me in this area. So the world calls, you know, what the Bible calls sin, the world calls, you know, crime or wrongdoing or just bad things. And the Bible calls sin. I recently was listening to a pastor, Tim Keller, I have music on my podcast or on my iPod, but I have tons of podcasts. I love just using the time in my car. And so I was listening to a sermon and this is where he said, sin is when we crave something more than God. Sin is when we crave something else more than God. And I thought, man, that's amazing. So while I was driving, I grabbed a piece of paper and a pen, and I was sitting there trying to write it down. Otherwise, I would forget it. And my wife will testify, I'm not always the best driver because I'm like trying to multitask. And that's how I've gotten so many of my tickets, is because I'm thinking or talking about something else and not even paying attention. So I'm working on that area. But anyways, I had to write it down, and I thought that was really profound. So, but when you look at the Bible, if you've spent any time reading it and looked up, you know, sin, or you'll notice that there's all kinds of words that the Bible uses instead of sin. If we go to the next slide, I just pulled up some of these words. They call it transgression. Falling short. Falling short is, some of you may know, is missing the mark. If you're a runner and you're trying to break a record, and so you know the record, the standing record is this, and to break it, you have to, you know, beat it by so many, whatever, hundredths of a second or whatever. And I'm not the crazy runner or anything. So you have to beat that record, right? And so when we fall short, we miss the mark. Right? So that's the most common term in the Bible when it's talking about sin. The most common one, I think it's used 250 times, is falling short. We're falling short of a standard that God has for us. He's like, hey, I want you to live like this. This is what I expect of you, and we fall short. And there's other ones, unrighteousness, trespasses, like transgression, we're crossing over a line that God has for us. Iniquity, ungodliness, disobedience. I would call it willful disobedience. We know, some of us know what to do, what's expected of us, and we're like, well, I'm going to choose not to do it this time. And then lastly, ignorance. It's used once, actually, in Hebrews, but much like speeding tickets, I've been caught speeding and gotten a ticket for speeding. And I wasn't, it wasn't that I was purposefully doing it. My mind was somewhere completely, somewhere else. For example, I called up Abby's dad and asked for permission to marry her. And I was super excited when he said, yeah. And so I'm like hopping in the car, and I was already working on the proposal. I was like, oh, I already know. I have all these great ideas. So I was zooming to Michael's. Well, I was zooming to Michael's and drove out and then got pulled over right outside of my house. I was like, man, I was like, but it didn't really dampen my mood at all because I was just too excited. You know, I am going to get engaged. I'm going to propose to her. So I was working on that. So, but yeah, I didn't, it wasn't that I was purposefully doing that. My mind was somewhere else. Wasn't even looking at the speedometer. So that's an example. We're not excused because like, well, I didn't know about that. Well, we have the Bible. So enough said there. So if there's a standard, if God expects us to live up to a standard, well, he's not the type of God who's like, well, figure it out. No, he says, hey, I've compiled it right here. It's for you. If there is a standard, if there's a standard we're expected to keep or live by, then obviously you would need to communicate it. And he has. It's here in the Word. We just simply have the responsibility to search it out and see what God expects from us and from how he wants us to live. So let me just come to example. So we're talking about curiosity and cravings. And so I was looking through, found several different texts, and I was like, well, let's go to the beginning. Let's see what the first humans on earth struggled with, and maybe that will give us an insight. So if you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. And while you're turning there, just to kind of summarize. So God created the world, and God created mankind to be in a relationship with him. And he told Adam and Eve, the first two humans, to enjoy the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden. Eden is another word for, or Eden means delight. So Garden of Delight. He's like, hey, enjoy yourselves. I created it for you. Have fun, man. Just go run around and be crazy. And but then he gave a standard. He had an expectation for them. He said, look. Okay, but there's one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hey, I don't want you eating from that or even touching it because you'll die. And that's all. That's all he said. And so our story picks up there in chapter 3. And it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Temptation starts by questions. That's how we're kind of drawn in, questioning, well, did they really mean that? Oh, well, maybe this. And so we start redefining, we start questioning, it starts with curiosity, like, oh, you know, just even thinking, kind of dwelling on it. It's like, oh, mate, well, let me think about that. And it starts with doubt, doubting our source. Maybe even doubting our parents, just question, oh, well, maybe they didn't really mean that. Maybe, verse 4, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Well, her curiosity overtook her. She's like, well, you know, I want that. I mean, yeah, to know the difference between good and evil. And she was curious, and it appealed to her. And what else do you think Eve craved? Well, knowing good and evil, I mean, how much are you going to benefit from that? Why would you necessarily want to know good from evil? No, I believe she craved something more. I believe that she craved knowledge. She wanted to be like God. She wanted to maybe be independent. She wanted to be her own master. And so we all crave certain things. That's how we're wired. We're wired, and Eric talked a few weeks ago when he was talking about worship. We're made to worship and want to worship something, but all it takes is just for it to become switched, and all of a sudden we're worshiping something else. We're craving something else. And that's what happened to her. The eyes of both were opened, verse 7, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And I think that's a good story. That's a good story of, hey, that's how it started. And yeah, there isn't a tree that we're not supposed to eat of. There isn't. That's not the application here. It's like, well, go find the tree that you're not supposed to eat of and don't touch it and eat it. Or no, it's not that. It's we see how from the very beginning how mankind is wired, how what they're like. We are dependent on God, but many can't accept that. And maybe that's exactly what Eve was. She was like, well, I want to be like God. I want to be independent, just more free from this. And we need to learn to trust him. Maybe not knowing what would truly happen other than that she would die wasn't enough. She's like, well, just too curious. And so there's another passage in Romans. I have it up on the screen for you. Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to read it actually from the from a different translation, because I feel like it's worded very well. Romans 5, 18, 19. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. So he's comparing. Adam's one sin was passed down. That's why we're born with a sinful nature. Okay, we can't help that. We're born with that because Adam sinned and it was passed down. It pretty much corrupted everyone. But Christ, one act of righteousness brings a relationship with God, new life for everyone. So one act, one person's deed condemned everyone, but then another man and God's act is there to save everyone. I just think it's great that parallel, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because the one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. And next week, Aaron is going to be talking about salvation. He'll go more into that. And just looking through Romans chapter 5, I think it's pretty great. You can read it at home, where it's contrasted. It's just kind of the good and the bad is contrasted. It contrasts Paul, the author of Romans, sin and righteousness. First Adam and the second Adam. Second Adam is Jesus Christ. Death versus life. Judgment versus justification. How it's just kind of that contrast there. And to finish out, I have another story that I found in, for the past couple weeks, I guess the story was just kind of, on my mind. And so I thought, man, you know, I'm just going to really share it. This is something that I learned, so I thought I would share it with you today. In Matthew chapter 19, 16 through 21, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. I don't have it up on the screen, but I'll just kind of summarize it for you. And here, there's a rich ruler. He comes to Jesus, and he says, hey, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is no one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And then he goes on saying to them, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if any of you are familiar with the Ten Commandments, Jesus missed some vital ones. He jumped and kind of missed the first four. First four are, hey, you shouldn't have any other God besides God. You shouldn't make any images and worship them. You shouldn't use God's name in vain. You shouldn't use it when it's inappropriate. And to remember the Sabbath. He didn't even mention those. But I believe it was purposefully. I believe he's drawing this man into a conversation, a dialogue, to get this man to think about it. And he says, well, hey, the young man said to him, all these I have kept. What else do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell your possessions, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. It says here, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I think that is just a great story. Some of y'all may be like, well, that doesn't really relate to me. I don't have like tons of possessions and wealth. I'm not a wealthy person. But no, I believe this guy was working hard at keeping all these other commandments. But the most important thing, he put something else. He craved something more than he craved God. And I believe we do the same thing. I struggle with the same thing. There's times when I crave something more than I crave God. Sin is when we crave something. That's why I like this definition. Sin is when we crave something else more than we crave God. And this man liked his wealth and his material things, and he had a hard time when he had to choose. He's like, well, sell everything, come follow me. God says, hey, I'll take care of you. I mean, you don't need that stuff. And he's like, oh, well, I can't. And he's just trying to hold on to both. So the application, since it's a study on applied theology, there needs to be some application. And what I want you to kind of walk away with today is, well, just the application. How does it pertain to you? How can you put this to practice? How can you begin working on this? In Matthew, the last passage I'll read today, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I think that's it. We need to put God first and everything else in second place, no matter what it is we're dealing with. And we all have busy schedules. We all have things that we got to get accomplished. We have school. We have maybe work after school. For the leaders, they have work, you know, to provide for the family and take care, to pay bills. We all need to get a certain amount of things done. We got homework after we get home from school. But look, God knows that you have those things. But we can still choose to be like, you know what? I am going to put God first. I'm going to make sure school's important, working is very important, but I'm going to make sure that I give God what he deserves, what he asks of me. Seek him first, and then put everything else. And it's hard when you have that tension of like, well, if I spend some time praying or reading God's word, then I might not get all my homework done. You know, I believe God will reward you. I believe God will reward you and bless you, and he will make it work out with your schedule. If you say, look, God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to take time with you in the morning. And you, God, you know my busy schedule. And Lord, I'm asking that you come and help me get everything done by the end of the day. And I believe you will. And that's what I just want to challenge you. And so what are some of the things that you crave? Do we crave money, education? Do we crave popularity, talent, sports, success, or attention? What is it that you crave? What is it that you're craving more than you're craving God? And so I have some questions for you today that we'll spend the next couple of minutes at our table just kind of discussing, and I want you to wrestle with it. What is it that you are craving more? So we can go to the next slide. And you got three questions, and we'll have the next almost 10 minutes to do that at your tables. Okay, to wrap up our conversation, let me just explain. You know, somebody asked about the second question, what I meant by that, like, first thing to go. I guess my thinking was, and I'm just kind of writing from my experiences, when I'm in a time crunch trying to get all these things done, for me, a lot of times the first thing to go is my time with God in the morning. That's what I do first thing. Otherwise, if I don't do it in the morning, then I don't do it the rest of the day. And so if I'm running late, sleep in accidentally, then I'm like, oh, well, I'll read my Bible later, or I'll, you know, spend time talking to God later. And then I end up never doing it. And maybe for some of you, if you're behind on the homework or something like that, it's like, oh, well, I just can't go to church today. Not that church is everything, but sometimes it's vital for your growth in your relationship with God. So that's kind of what I meant. You know, do you cancel out those things or do you cancel other things? You know, we usually never cut out eating or important things. Why don't you do that, you know? You can go a couple of days without food. but we usually don't sacrifice those things. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you, just to kind of think about it this week as you go. It's like, oh, God, what am I craving? What is there something that I'm craving more? Cravings aren't bad, but it's when you got your priorities mixed up. So just imagine how we'd spend our time differently if we craved God and his kingdom more. Imagine how much more time you'd be spending with other people than just kind of consume with ourselves and just kind of getting the things done that you want to get done. And imagine the little value we'd put on our career, talents, and education, and fame. Those things aren't bad, but sometimes we're just consumed by it, and God's over here is like, hey, man, I want to spend some time with you. And he's just kind of going by the wayside. So I just want to challenge you. That was something that I learned recently and just wanted to share it with you. So let me go ahead and close in prayer. And, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you that you pursued us, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to redeem us and save us. And, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the strength, the wisdom to know what to do and the strength to do it. Lord, we know it's tough, and Lord, we just ask you to help us with that. Just bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.